The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
Yes, we are your hosts. You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
Big JD, what's going down?
Oh, you know, same old, same old. It's been a little while since we hooked up to do a show. It's been a week.
Been a whole week.
Yeah.
How has your week been, Big JD?
Oh, my weeks are always just wonderful.
Yeah.
No, they're okay. You know, they go by too fast. The weekends go by too quickly, don't they?
Well, you should. It's hard to judge time that has passed because eventually you're going to say, wow, that went by fast. And then next thing you know, you're dead.
Jeez.
Carpe diem, people. Live, seize the day.
That's right.
And that's what I'm doing, Big JD. I'm trying to seize the day. Sometimes you just get a little too busy, and that's when time seems to fly by.
You got
to
stop and smell the coffee.
Oh, I would love a cup of coffee.
I had a cup of coffee.
We should get a coffee sponsor on this show.
Oh, yeah? We probably could.
There's a few coffee roasters in the city of Windsor. That's where we're at. We're in the city. Do we actually mention that we're in Windsor?
No, Windsor, Ontario, Canada.
All right. Wonderful but joint. I'm thinking of the intro of the song, which I never hear. I'm just kind of remembering it from past shows.
Oh, right. On the show, the intro doesn't say anything, no.
Okay. Because I remember there was one where she said, good morning, Windsor. Good morning, Detroit, or something like that.
Oh, maybe it does say that at the beginning. Yeah. Wake up, Windsor. Wake up, Detroit. Yeah, I think it does say that on the... Yeah.
Woohoo!
Coffee.
Let's get some coffee.
Let's get some coffee going. Percolating.
Yeah.
Well, we could do a coffee show. We've probably done that before too, but.
A coffee show? I don't know. Maybe a hot drink show.
Yeah. Coffee, tea, hot drinks, something like that.
Stimulation drinks.
Ooh. The booze show.
The booze show.
That we haven't done.
Are you sure?
I'd be useless.
Well, I do a booze show every week. It's on YouTube.
Did you get something up yet?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be recording my fourth week this week.
What?
Yeah, I'm telling
you. Oh, I didn't even know.
Well, the first one I knew was going to be, you know, I haven't edited video for a whole show ever in my whole life. So I knew the first couple were going to be a little rough. And I'm just learning Final Cut Pro, basically, is what it's boiling down to. So I'm just having fun learning right now. And as I go around looking at other channels that are around the same thing, I notice it's the same thing with them. Their early shows have nowhere near the polish that the later shows do, like especially the lighting.
So where
lighting
can,
is dialed in.
Right.
Yeah.
Where can listeners find the show?
Well, just go to youtube.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you, The Average Wine Enthusiast.
Right. Okay. The Average Wine Enthusiast on YouTube.
Yeah.
Your channel. And you got, you're working on your fourth show.
This weekend, yeah.
Cool stuff, man. I think that's awesome. Congratulations.
Thanks.
I didn't know like it was up and everything yet. I thought
I wasn't spreading it around. But this last week when I released the third show, I shared it on social media.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So people now know.
Very
one
nice.
One more person watched the video, so it's... It's all good. It's fun. I'm talking about wine. If you're into wine and you're not like a snobby wine type person, then this show might be for you. All right, we're back. And this week's show, we're going to be talking about originals versus covers. There's lots of songs out there that have been covered by other people that became more famous, more popular, was done even better than the first version. Also, we're going to be talking about bands that decide to play covers instead of doing original music and what the pros and cons of that is r/whatever. The first song we're going to hear, though, this we're going to play a little bit of music, and this was covered by many people. It's a Bob Dylan tune, and a lot of people did Bob Dylan tunes, and Jimi Hendrix happened to do this one. It's All Along the Watchtower.
There must be some kind of way out of here, say the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine, plowman dig my earth. None will ever own the mine, nobody of it is worth.
To you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
We are back and we're talking about cover songs versus original songs. And let's talk a little bit about bands playing cover songs and original songs. Bands tend to fall into those two major categories, cover bands and original bands. And there are the ones that do a little of both, but they typically lean more towards the cover side. If you're,
we're talking about bands that are playing on weekends, every weekend kind of thing.
Bar bands and such.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's a cover band or tribute band. Sometimes tribute bands can be pretty big, but they're playing one particular artist or as a tribute to that artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's that too. That's interesting you say that, because obviously that is the ultimate cover band, is a tribute band, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much the ultimate cover band, I guess. Yeah.
I would like to do a tribute type show, but I would like to do either two or maybe three different bands in the same night.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, right. And dress like them and everything though? And
no, it would be just
the music.
You're going to get 10 to 12 songs from this band. Okay. That was awesome. See in half an hour. And then you come out and do 10, 12 songs from it.
I think you'd want to look like the band to some degree though. I mean, if you want to make some dough, you got to look like the band, I think.
Oh, now we're talking about making dough. Well, that's the whole
The whole thing about tributes and cover bands, really, is the money more than anything, I think.
Yeah, if you're in a cover band, that is the way to make some decent coin anyway and get the better gigs, like go on cruises and go down into the Caribbean and play at, you know, bars down there and do that kind of show. Yeah, so if you had to be in a tribute band, Big JD, what would you like? What tribute band would you want to be in?
Oh, geez. Never really thought about it, but.
Wow. I thought you'd just have an answer right off the top.
Well, I guess I thought about it. Ted Nugent would be cool. Black Sabbath would be cool.
So you would be Tony Iommi?
No, I'd be Geezer Butler. I'd be Tony Iommi for sure.
Okay, I don't know. Because you could be an Aussie guy, but. When you're younger, I think that's more feasible. Having said that, I know a guy who's he's in four different tribute bands in California, and they play up and down they play all over.
Yeah,
actually.
You've mentioned that. That's pretty wild. That's a lot of tribute bands, especially for playing so much too, right?
Yeah, they got gigs all the time, and he's got another thing that he does as far as making money, but be able to do that. A lot of it is the same dudes. Mm-hmm. So typically from what I'm learning is that there's these companies out there that have a roster of tribute bands that they send out basically.
Sure. Yeah.
So and those are the people that get you your gigs. Mm-hmm. Like at casinos and, you know, the resorts and stuff like that. So
right.
Getting on one of those rosters is really the key to it all. And what usually happens is bands that are in the same roster that are represented by the same company, they enter, like, you know, oh, this band, it needs a bass player when they play in Seattle. Okay, well, the bass player from this band is. And then they get to know each other. So it's like 30 or 40 guys on a roster, and they all know each other because they, you know, they see each other or they played with each other. It's like a 30 member band almost.
30 guys playing with each other. That's another show. Write that down. Here's a band that's made some dough over the years. This is Megadeth doing Sabbath's Never Say Die.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
So yeah, we're talking about cover bands versus original bands. Those terms are used to describe the type of band it is. They do originals or they do covers.
Now, there's bands out there that when they tour, and I think this is becoming more and more common, that they will play at least one cover. Like you know, sure. I know Government Mule, they do at least two Beatles tunes and then maybe a couple more even.
Well, we did that. And when it's on your own terms, it's cool. You know what I mean? We refused to do that. And then, you know, when we didn't have to do it, and we were touring and playing and all that, and could do it on our own terms. Like, everybody likes other people's music. So then, yeah, we'd bring in some cool songs. You know what I mean? Here and there.
Yeah. Here and there. It's good to add flavor. And then that's just a part of the show that people can sing along to.
When people don't expect it, it's fun, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially if you switch it up a little bit and then add your own little flavor to it. People find themselves singing along. And they realize, wait a minute. This is that song, but it doesn't sound anything like that song, but I'm still singing along, so that, you know, they must be doing a decent job of it. And another thing that I want to talk about as far as covers and originals is in the 60s, what would happen a lot of times, which I think is probably what happened with the All on the Watchtower thing. A guy would come out with an album, or a band would come out with an album, and then someone would get turned onto it like right away. And then record it like on their very next album. So it might be like only months that separate the two releases. And oftentimes what happened, it was the second release was the thing that got that song noticed and, you know, became a much bigger hit.
Right. And let's get into that, actually. Covers versus originals for that type of thing, where one big band covered another big band's song, kind of thing. You know what I mean? Well, some of them, people come out with a more obscure, it'd be obscure and nobody really knows the song, and somebody took it, redid it, and that made it famous, which is really cool too, but still the same thing. You know, a national or international artist that produces a song, and another big band does the song. Like the All Along the Watchtower one, you know, Bob Dylan's a big artist. Jimi Hendrix was a big artist. So there's a lot of songs like that, though, that are really cool.
And for sure.
Some of the ones that were done, you know, the remakes are better than the originals. In some cases.
Oftentimes, yeah. Because
I'd say that's one of them, All Along the Watchtower.
Well, yeah, and that was done by a bunch of people after Jimmy did it, for sure. But I think what happens a lot of times is someone's really turned on by this artist. When the artist originally records his or her song, they are looking at it as maybe not the best song on the album, or they're just making an album, you know. So I think as you make an album, you tend to prioritize the songs in terms of which you think is a better song than another song.
Yeah,
I think you do that as a songwriter all the time, regardless whether you're making an album or not. So maybe the artist didn't think of it as such a strong song or something that really touched them, but it was good enough to write a song. But then somebody else hears it and they're like really moved by it, and they say, I want to cover it. And then they put a different thing into that song that turns it into a really popular, or really, you know, they just take that song to a different place.
And we chose a number of songs today that were fitting for the show, but there are so many. And this is a really good one here. I'm just looking at the list of the Guess Who song, American Woman, that Lenny Kravitz redid. And his version was pretty cool. It was really popular.
Absolutely. And if you go see Randy Bachman ever in concert, he always thanks Lenny for doing that. He says it was like he wrote a new song, basically. He got as much money from that as if he wrote that song all over again.
A lot of bands redid Baby Please Don't Go, a big Joe Williams song. And like Aerosmith redid that. Was it on Honkin' Bobo or something, I think, was the album that it was on?
That's a great album, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Cool, heavy blues thing from Aerosmith. They were pretty blues-based anyway, but that one was even more so, with lots of cool harp, huh?
Yes, absolutely. I'm trying to think, well, who else did Baby
Please AC/DC Don't Go? Did Baby Please Don't Go. I think Leslie West did Baby Please Don't Go. Ted Nugent, I think, was it with the Amboy Dukes or not? I don't recall.
With the Amboy Dukes, yeah.
So yeah, a number of bands have done that song. Black Magic Woman was a Fleetwood Mac song that Santana redid. That was a cool version too.
Yeah, that was that Peter Green who did that?
Peter Green. Well, it was Fleetwood Mac. No.
Well, that's
Peter Green. But Peter Green was in the band.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Old Fleetwood Mac. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah, Cat's in the Cradle. Harry Chapin. And yeah. Ugly Kid Joe did that. Ugly Kid Joe, that rock band from I don't know when. What you got something lined up for us here. Homework.
Homework, that's an Otis Rush tune. I just went and saw it, and I shouldn't say just went, but about 2 months ago, I saw Peter Wolf at a very small venue in Detroit, St. Andrews. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is he paid tribute to Otis Rush because Homework was an early Jay Giles, you know, it was a song that got them noticed basically. But it was an old Otis Rush tune. And the fact that he said something about Otis Rush, and I remember myself going to see Otis Rush at St. Andrews. And I remember walking right up to him, like right at his feet, looking up at him. It's like nobody was really like paying attention to him or whatever. And there wasn't many people in there either. But he was old and I think he had a big buzz on. I'm not sure. But anyway, it was cool that Peter Wolf had made note of it and he played that tune that night. And this is Homework by the Jay Giles Band.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
All right, we're back. We're talking about cover songs versus originals and all that that entails. What do you got for us, Big JD?
How about this one? Another Hendrix one here. Hey Joe, originally by The Leaves?
Really?
See, I didn't even know that.
No, me either. No,
I have to look for that now to see what it's like. I don't even know.
And it's The Leafs or The
Leaves? The Leaves with a V-E-S.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's not a very good name for
Well, it's spelled wrong for one thing. Bobby Fuller's I Fought the Law. A number of bands have done that, but most notably The Clash. I Fought the Law.
Yeah, that was a good cover by them for sure. I loved it.
Boomtown Rats doing their song "I Don't Like Mondays" that Tori Amos covered. Johnny Cash. She? Johnny Cash did "Hurt." Remember that from
Nine Inch Nails.
Nine Inch Nails. Yeah.
See, that's probably an example of just taking a song somewhere else. You had would have no idea that was a Nine Inch Nails tune. And what else does he do? He does "Rusty Cage" by Soundgarden, which is another killer tune by Johnny Cash when he does it.
Oh, right, right.
Totally heavy original, but he just takes it and it makes you think of the words in such a different context when Johnny Cash is singing it, when he's however old he was when he recorded that stuff in his late 70s for sure.
He also did Gordon Lightfoot's song "If You Could Read My Mind." Johnny Cash did that
when he was younger, right?
I'm gonna say yeah, probably.
Yeah, and it had some success as well, I think.
Sugar Ray did that Joe Jackson song, "Is She Really Going Out With Him?" That was pretty popular.
Was it? I'm sorry, I didn't catch the Sugar Ray version of that.
But, is she really going out with him?
Yeah, great tune. Joe Jackson's a great songwriter.
Joe Jackson's pretty good, yeah. Oh, also another Bob Dylan song, "Mr. Tambourine Man," was popularized by the Byrds.
Yes, there is a lot of Dylan tunes that were redone for sure. Because a lot of his songs, he had that same sound, you know, that he would always sound the same.
Yeah, and, I know.
But he thought of himself more as a poet than so much as a songwriter. And
yeah, definitely classify him as the singer songwriter kind of guy that he was, and folk and. Yeah, wrote a lot of good stuff. I just don't think he performed it all that well.
Well, he performed it in Bob Dylan's style.
That's, well, I guess, yeah. It just it wasn't very appealing to me. Let's put it that way.
Right, yeah.
As much as the artist that recovered. And here's a cool little medley of Rainbow songs that was done for a Dio tribute album. And this is Metallica doing what they call Ronnie Rising, which is the medley featuring "A Light in the Black," "Terror Woman," "Stargazer," and "Kill the King." we've been talking about bands that did remakes of other bands' songs, kind of the original versus the cover, which one's better type of thing. And well, there's
Can I just stop you right here?
No.
Big JD, when he performs, you do nothing but originals. You have so many originals. So I'm just kind of curious what makes you decide to do a specific cover of a song.
Yeah, good question. I just did one recently, too. I don't know if you heard it. I think I posted it somewhere. It was a Judas Priest song, Worth Fighting For.
Oh, yeah. Judas Priest, you just you like the vocal line on it. You didn't play guitar on it. You just sang it, right? Like karaoke stuff.
Yeah, I only sang it. Yeah, what makes me decide to do a particular cover, I guess, just because I think it's cool, kind of in keeping up the chops thing. Or, you know, I don't get to do covers very often. You know what I mean? Like, I don't play them or anything, really. So I'm not against cover songs and doing them. You know what I mean? That's not my thing as far as the music business goes, right? I don't think that is the music business. Here's one that I did here. Interstate Love Song, Stone Temple Pilots. Check it out. Yeah, there you go. Stone Temple Pilots, Interstate Love Song. I just do them for fun here and there. You know what I mean? When I have a little extra time in the studio and knock one out.
Knock one out. I remember you talking about learning other people's songs. Like you would say, you would say some strange things. Like, I don't have time to learn it, or I don't know how to learn it, or.
Right. It's just a time getting them down. So even the Interstate Love Song, if you notice some anomalies in the phrasing and whatever, I mean, I never learned the song to know how to sing it exactly how it should be, maybe. But you just have to take it for what it is.
Absolutely.
I started working on another one. I never really finished it yet. I just hadn't had time to, and it's a longer song, but it's Stargazer from Rainbow.
Rainbow, yeah.
We heard Metallica play a little bit of that, but yeah, I like sometimes doing the more challenging ones too, because, you know, doing the blues thing is not super challenging.
No, it takes you to a certain place, but then I know that you like to explore other areas of jamming.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what I'll do is I'll throw that Judas Priest tune in at the end after the our outro as a little
bonus.
Yeah, a little Easter egg if you can find it. And you got another song lined up here for us, so let's do that.
All right, this was originally a Doris Day was, I think, the first person to make it popular, and I don't think that Doris Day ever wrote any songs. What do you think?
Doris Day?
Yeah.
Hmm. Didn't she used to host a show too and stuff?
I think she had her own show that was like the, wasn't it like the Mary Tyler Moore Show or something like that?
Hmm, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I don't know.
Yeah, I think
I think Doris Day had an album.
Oh, yeah, she had albums. Yeah, she was a very popular
singer.
Oh,
that she didn't write songs, though. Yeah, maybe not. Right.
I think back in those days it was, you know.
I don't know if Frank Sinatra wrote a song either.
Right. I don't know that he did either.
And Elvis, did Elvis write a lot? Maybe early on he did?
I think he had some input in some parts of some songs.
Ooh, what about The Letter?
Remember that? Baby Wrote Me a Letter?
Yeah, yeah. The Box Top song. Joe Cocker did it. He did a cool version of that, right?
Yeah. Joe did he didn't do any songwriting himself. And a lot of the songs that he did that made it popular were songs that other people wrote. Leon Russell.
I think Rod Stewart stole the song from me.
Did he? What song was it?
It's a song I did with Brett at one time. And he put out a song on his last album that sounds almost exactly like it. He would never have heard it, though. So I jest, but it's funny how similar it is. And it's funny how, and that's probably, you do another show on this, how similar songs are to another song, even though, you know, sometimes people have never heard the other song or it's very obscure. Or, I don't know, maybe people do steal it, but it's funny. Like one of those things where everything's done, you know what I mean? Kind of thing.
Right. If you listen to Rich Turfry on The Drive Home on CBC2, I think it is, he does a segment in a show called Kissin' Cousins. Okay. And people write into him telling him, like, you know, I think this song sounds like this song. He reads their letter on the air, and then he plays a little bit of the one song, and then he'll play the whole other song, depending on which one was the popular one or whatever, you know what I mean?
A cool band that does covers actually is Steel Panther. They have they put out CDs of their own music. They primarily do cover songs, and they do 80s metal hair band cover stuff, and they're hilarious, and
they're funny,
they do songs great. They are like the living version of those 80s metal bands, and we did an interview with them on South Detroit Soundhouse. You can check it out, southdetroitsoundhouse.com. There's a video interview we did with them, and they were hilarious, man. And just like, it just seems like they kind of take you back to that point in time, you know?
Yeah, they're good and they're funny.
Yeah,
a lot of shtick involved with those guys.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And if you look them up on YouTube, you find a lot of big artists that perform with them. You know, they call them up on stage, and
it's a common thing.
Yeah, yeah, with them.
We were talking about Doris Day singing a song called Perhaps, Perhaps, Perhaps. Here's one of my favorite bands doing it. It's Cake doing Perhaps, Perhaps, Perhaps.
You won't admit you love me, and so how am I ever to know? You only tell me. Times I ask you, and then I ask you over again. You only answer, perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. If you can't make your mind up, we'll never get started. If you really love me, say yes. But if you don't, dear, confess. And please don't.
don't tell me. Perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. If you can't make your mind. If you really love me, say yes. But if you don't, dear, confess. And please don't tell me. Perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. Perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. Perhaps, perhaps, perhaps.
We were talking about cover songs versus original songs and some of the bands that did remakes and like Van Halen redoing the Linda Ronstadt song, You're No Good. That was pretty cool, actually.
That You're No Good is a Linda Ronstadt tune? That was that tune?
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't know that? That's neat to find that out, isn't it?
I mean, I love the Linda Ronstadt version of that song.
Well, that's one. They did it on the second album. Broken heart, simple and true.
Oh, yeah. Now that you sing it like Dave, it sounds familiar. But they also did You Really Got Me.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first album. So they were known to do covers as well.
Oh, I think they. Yeah, and you ever hear Van Halen doing covers? I have this, I don't know, it's a bootleg or something of Van Halen live at a couple of different concerts before they had put out an album or anything, doing all cover songs. And the song choice, awesome. Obviously, at the time, you know, it was like 74, 75. So the songs are going to be cool anyway. But they're really cool, like old Deep Purple stuff and just a great choice of songs. But the biggest thing I noticed about it is that I never thought of Michael Anthony as all that great of a bass player. Like, he was good, you know what I mean? But like, always sounded basic on Van Halen albums, kind of.
Yeah.
And he's just wailing on this stuff, man. I mean, like, wailing. He's like phenomenal. Like, phenomenal.
From what I understand, Michael Anthony didn't record much of the bass parts on Van Halen albums.
Oh, no?
No, it was Eddie who recorded most of that stuff.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And then Michael Anthony would come in and learn it. And obviously, he could learn it if he's playing, like you say, he's just wailing, probably doing some awesome Glenn Hughes.
Well, that makes sense, really, because I'll tell you, the bass on this stuff, you know it's Michael Anthony, but it's phenomenal, man. This guy can wail. And maybe he did in Chickenfoot and all that stuff. Like, I don't really know that as much, really, so I'm not sure. But wasn't he in Chickenfoot, right?
Yeah, he was. With Hagar? Sammy recorded all the bass parts. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. It could be. Who knows? Some people are just bad in the studio, too. You never know.
I guess it would have been Joe Satriani would have been the guy doing the bass parts.
Okay.
What was I going to say about Michael Anthony? I forget. Anyway, his major contribution to Van Halen is his vocals, honestly.
Yeah.
He made that Van Halen harmony sound that you get. It's as identifiable as Beatles harmonies are.
All right. And sorry to say, we're actually out of time. And aww. So, we have to wrap things up. And I will put in that Judas Priest song after the outro, Worth Fighting For. Maybe you'll dig it. Yeah, that's about it.
It's diggable.
It's diggable?
Absolutely. It's an awesome rendition of that song.
Well, thank you, sir. And we will see you. You'll see us next week.
Bye-bye.
sure to join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.
Some things are worth fighting for.